Ports are ASL, interpreters, participants joining by phone, and individuals who will listen to the recording. For those joining by phone, you may mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6 and raise or lower your hand by pressing star 9. For those joining by computer, please use the microphone icon to mute or unmute and the raise hand feature, which is located under the reactions menu. When making comments, speakers are asked to briefly describe themselves the first time they speak. This supports equitable access for all participants. A brief description may include clothing or distinguishing features and your location relative to the screen. I'll provide a brief example. This is Dr. Maggie Butler. I am a woman with shoulder-length hair. I am wearing a green top and blue blazer. I'm seated indoors and speaking from my office. At this time, I am going to share the agenda. Give me one moment. Please let me know if you're able to see my screen.
I see it.
Okay.
See it. Yes.
Okay. 5:30 p.m. Call to order, AAC roll call conducted by system-wide accessibility staff. 5:35 p.m. Approval of agenda, prior meeting minutes, and board report. 5:40 p.m. WMATA.com and Metro Pulse 2.0 post-launch update provided by Anthony Thomas, Director of Customer Experience Programs. 6:05 p.m. Emergency Preparedness Site Visit conversation led by Patrick Sheehan, AAC Chair. 6:35 p.m. System-wide accessibility update led by myself. 6:45 p.m. Public comments and 7 p.m. Bus Rail Subcommittee report. 7:15 p.m. Metro Access Subcommittee report, and 7:30 p.m. adjournment. Okay. Next, I will move into the roll call. When your name is called, please confirm your presence. Susan Bullmaster.
I'm here.
Thank you. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy.
I'm here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
He's here.
He's here, called in from Austin. Yeah.
Okay. Debbie Fisher.
I'm here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
I'm here.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Swatha Nandakumar. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newzell.
Present, calling in from Lake Champlain.
Oh, thank you. Phil Posner. Sarah Rod.
I heard Sarah earlier. She's here.
I'm sorry, I'm here. I'm having technical difficulties.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Summerfort.
Here, just left DC on the Excel Express on my way to New York.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Yeah.
And Philip Weinthrop. All right. At this time, I will turn the meeting over to Chair Sheehan to proceed with the agenda. Chair Sheehan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for showing up in this warm July day. Let's see. When why don't we start with review of agenda? Do I have any additions to our agenda this evening?
I say we move it as is. This is Paul Simmelfort.
Okay, good. Are there any objections? Hearing none.
No, Rufus says I second it.
You. Who seconded it?
Rico.
Okay, very good. Okay, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any objections? Good. Agenda is approved. Let's go to minutes. Any additions or corrections to the minutes?
This is Paul Summerford again. I say we move the minutes as is if we don't hear anything else.
All right, very good.
Rico says I second it.
Very good. Okay. Any objections to moving the minutes forward? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. And third, we'll go with board report. Any additions or suggestions for the board report?
I say we move the board report as is. Also,
And Paul?
report.
Yeah. Based on.
Oh, based on any friendly amendment, any additions that come out tonight that need to be added to the board report, of course.
Right, good. All right, sir. Excellent. Thank you, Paul. Rico, you want to give a second again? You guys are tag teaming pretty well.
Yes, and I had one, Chairman, I had one question. How do we add a CDI interpreter if a person is deaf and blind? If that's, can we amend that for the directors, or do they do it?
I don't know. Let's take that one for action, okay, Rico?
Okay.
Yeah. I'll bet you may have to help us with that one.
Okay, because my friend is deaf and blind, and she asked me that question, and I said, I'll bring it up.
Good. Maggie, I'll let you. We'll talk about that one. Rico, maybe we'll bring you in on this one for suggestions so that we do it right.
Okay.
Okay, good. That would be helpful. Great. Thank you, Rico, for that.
Welcome.
So no additions to the board report. Paul, did you move? You moved the board report?
Yeah,
I second it. Yeah,
Okay,
with
good.
the friendly amendment of adding
Yes.
to it, depending on what comes out tonight.
Excellent. Good. And okay, so we'll go with that. Any objections to the board report as amended? Hearing none, the board report will be accepted. Rico, thank you very much for that. We will get back with you on that one. Of course, we don't meet in August, but we can certainly do this before then, get you the information that you asked for. Okay, Mr. Thomas, Anthony Thomas, Director of Customer Experience. Sir, you're going to give us an update on Pulse 2.0 and website. We had some interesting, a little bit of interesting challenges on trying to find certain things on the website. So maybe you can walk us through some of the changes and we may have some more specific questions for you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair
Good.
Chair Sheehan. Happy to be here. Good evening, everyone. Let me just go ahead and share my screen so I can pull up the slides. Okay. Good evening, everyone. Again, this is Anthony Thomas, Director of Customer Experience Programs in Metro's Department of Customer Experience. I am a male, mid back length locks with glasses. I'm currently wearing a red, white, and blue button-down shirt, and I'm speaking from my office here at L'Enfant Plaza. Like Chair Sheehan mentioned, I'm here to give you all a brief update on the WMATA.com site and the Metro Pulse 2.0 mobile application. As a reminder, the WMATA.com website launched on May 17th, and MetroPulse 2.0 launched at the end of May. So we're just shy of 2 months for WMATA.com, and super excited about the feedback that we've been getting and happy to share some of our roadmap on how we will continue to improve these products. The agenda, I will start with WMATA.com website updates, and then I'll provide some updates on MetroPulse mobile application. Then, of course, we'll save some time for any questions that the committee have. A little bit about WMATA.com by the numbers. Since the site launched on May 17th of this year, we have received over 3.4 million sessions and almost 15 million page views. And the most visited pages of the site are, of course, the homepage, so WMATA.com, but as well the trip planner, service nearby, and routes and lines pages in Rider Tools, which are the net new part of the website that provide our service information. So super excited to see that customer. Is there a question?
Yeah, what is the 3.4 million and the term sessions? I'm not, what does sessions mean?
Sure. If you visit the website and you click around for a couple pages, say for instance, you look at five pages while you're at the website, that counts as one session and five page views. A session is really just an individual time of you visiting the site and interacting with it.
Okay, thank you.
Of course. Thank you. Yes, very excited that the net new part of the WMATA.com Rider Tools. That has all of the service information is part of the most visited part of the new website. Shortly after we launched the website, we got some customer feedback that it was beneficial that we had presented the elevator escalator information on the specific station information pages on the site. We got the feedback that if there's an individual that uses lots of stations, for example, and that they need elevator access, it would be easier to have that information in a singular page. We were able to update the website very quickly to pull this information and consolidate it in a singular place on the new website. The information is the same that exists in the Rider Tools web application. But it just provides it all in a singular singular location. We are also working with the elevator escalator team to start pulling in planned elevator outages into this page as well, so that individuals that are using wheelchairs can understand if there's future planned work that might impact their travel. We've also made some updates to the AAC meetings page in collaboration with Dr. Butler's team to build a more accessible page. Previously, the PDFs was the only way to access the information about meetings. And as we all know, there can be some accessibility challenges with those sorts of PDFs. And so we've built a much more accessible way to convey that information about upcoming AAC and subcommittee meetings. I also wanted to share a quick note about the site's accessibility. The new site represents a significant improvement in accessibility over our previous site. Since launch, we've continued to meet our WCAG 2.2 level AA standards. But there have been continuous updates that we've been making since launch to continue to improve the perceivability and operability and usability of the site. That includes things like improved skip link functionality for screen reader users, implementing a focus trap for the trip planner search options modal, and general accessibility improvements on our station view modals as well. We've been in some of our automated testing, resolving over 25 issues that span across 30,000 pages on the site. But of course, there's more to come. We are working on our roadmap for continuous improvement, and many of those improvements are squarely focused on improving accessibility of service information across both the static pages in on the main site as well as the dynamically generated Rider Tools application. One of the things that we've heard is that some customers have expressed confusion on the mode filters. Currently, there's a rail and a bus filter, and if you select neither of them, that means both. But we've gotten feedback that that is a little confusing, and so we're working on an improvement to add an all button and making sure that that is the default state, so that it's always very clear what service options you've selected. We've also are working on a roadmap of development level accessibility updates. We've flagged over 18 different items that we can work to improve the accessibility of the site. And then working through different PDF forms that exist on the site to continue to move those towards a more dynamic and accessible form. And so there's a couple items that we flagged here. The MICC video request form and the MTPD request a report form are being converted from PDF to online. And as we identify more, we will continue to do so. So pivoting briefly to the MetroPulse 2.0 application, MetroPulse was launched again at the end of May and was a full visual and user interface overhaul of the application. Since we launched the original version of the application at the end of May, we've delivered two incremental releases focusing primarily on performance and data quality. And so the current version, which is version 2.0.2, loads more quickly and has more consistent and accurate service information across the application. And we have more updates coming across the summer. And these will now be focusing primarily on usability and accessibility. Again, we're making more improvements to the mode filters and the navigation bar to improve readability. We've gotten some comments that the current design of the navigation bar is a little difficult to see, and so we're making some changes there. We're also simplifying and streamlining the favorites view and removing the map, since we've heard feedback that the map is actually not super useful on that view. And this allows us to have more information spread out across the full screen. Finally, we're also making some updates to the location detail pages for streamlined access to trip planning. We've heard a little bit of feedback that it's a little confusing on what the difference is between those explore pages and the trip planner. And then we also have a set of much larger updates that we're planning for the end of summer. These include, for the first time, push notifications in MetroPulse that will highlight service disruptions and elevator escalator outages, updates to the customer comment and lost and found forms to be much easier and simpler to use. We'll be including much more robust shuttle information for planned rail service disruptions and incorporating elevator and escalator status into the application, as well as parking availability. As a dark mode user of mobile applications myself, introducing a dark mode view of the MetroPulse application as well. So those are just some of the examples of some of the work that we've done since launching these products, and just a little bit of a snippet on what our future roadmap is. Lots more to come on these apps as we continue to get customer feedback and figure out how to address it. And we would love any sort of additional feedback from this group on what we can use to make these applications work better for you all. And with that, Chair Sheehan, I turn it back to you for any questions.
All right, sir. Very good. Thank you. We may have a few. Maggie, do we have any hands raised?
We do. We have
Oh, good. I would
Sarah.
hate it. I would hate it if I gave that introduction. No hands were raised. Who was first?
Yeah, Sarah Rod, Paul Summerford, and then Steve Caffin.
Good. All right. Sarah, you're up. Thanks.
Okay, can you hear me?
Sure can.
I'm sorry, I'm having technical issues today. I don't know what's going on. I'm Sarah Rod, a middle-aged female with blondish hair and wearing a blue shirt today. First, I wanted to thank you for all the work on the elevator access. I know that means a lot. I was one of the people, I think, that relayed some of the feedback on the access to the elevators being on a single page. So can I confirm that on the current app, you can actually access all of the information about elevators in one page? Is that correct?
That's true on the website. We're still working on getting that information into the MetroPulse mobile application. That's one of our upcoming changes that we'll be deploying.
Excellent. I know that's a big issue. There's a lot of people that use the system all the time and don't necessarily need to go into the trip planner. And so then they don't have an easy way of finding outages. And also the push notifications, I think, will be a wonderful addition as well. And then one other question. Could you describe a little bit more what you mean by the dark mode?
Oh, yes, no, absolutely. So oftentimes there is a version of the of applications that are easier to see when it's when you're in a low light situation. So I'm not sure if anyone, if you're traveling the system at nighttime, if everything is very bright, using very light colors, it's a little bit blinding to see. And so a lot of systems and tools kind of invert the colors so that if you saw like a lighter beige color, you would see like a darker brown instead when it's at night. And it just helps with eye strain and things like that. So we're working on implementing something like that in MetroPulse. But it'll be an option. You can toggle it on or off if you want.
I find that very interesting. I'm aware of a couple of different versions of sort of dark mode, but people with different kinds of vision issues have different, call it dark mode, but mean different things by it. So thank you for the clarification. And I know there's a number of us with low vision that do use inverted colors and things like that. So we'd be happy to help you or give you opinions if you want users to take a look at that. Anyway, thank you for the presentation.
Awesome. Thank you.
Very good.
Certainly.
Thank you, Sarah. Good. Paul, I think you're up next.
Yep, I'm here. Paul Simmelfort, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair, African American, middle-aged male, shaved head, wearing a blue hoodie. One thing I will say, Sarah, I love dark mode. When I go into any Metro type of situation website, just in particular, it just helps me focus more. Even though, I don't have vision issues, it's just I like the option of between light and dark, and I choose dark. So, the biggest things I want to highlight and congratulate y'all with this new website changes is get to Metro Access. It only now takes 1, 2, 3 clicks. It is much easier. I like the fact that on this new website, y'all make it easier to get to certain critical Metro Access information in just a few clicks. You can, in 3 clicks, go to web booking, and or you could go in to get eligibility information, download application, get all the
Oh, you're going a little bit in and out.
certain documents, the most critical of their news, or returning, or an active user, in terms of knowing about certain policies. So I'm pretty excited about it, and see what more comes out of this as we make more improvements. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the feedback.
All right. Steve, I think you're up next.
Thank you, Steve Kaffin.
And where are you calling in from, Steve?
I'm calling from my home.
Oh my goodness.
You're
World Cup around here and you're
well,
calling from home. I like it.
it's funny you mentioned that because I am wearing my USA T-shirt, which I got on the West Coast. So
There you
you're
go. All
partially right.
right. That counts. All right, Steve, go ahead.
Wearing a USA T-shirt, black hair, graying-ish, and calling from home. Anthony, let me give you a couple of points regarding the trip planner, which is, of course, so important to everybody. I think there's been a change in it, right? And what's lacking now is the number of minutes next to the icon of the person to walk. And that's a big deal because, the alternatives may be four or five or six listed, and oftentimes the major criterion is how long the walk is going to be, particularly if you're connecting, let's say, between a metro and a bus or two buses, or if you've got to walk from the last last vehicle to the destination. So right now, and this has changed in the last month and a half, you have to click four, five, or six of them in order to say, no, I don't want to walk 10 minutes, even though I don't have to take an extra bus. Right now, you can't make that decision, and it's time consuming. So you might want to take a look at that, because that was previously on it for years, and it's now disappeared. The other thing is, towards the end of the old one, there was an icon for printing, and that's disappeared. Many people want to print the detail out. The other thing is, the old one was lacking the if you didn't have the print icon, and when you highlight it in order to print, for some reason, the walking procedure, the walking detail, just for some reason gets eliminated. And it's surprising, but that happens, and that's an important element, so you might want to take a look at that too. The ideal would be a printing icon that prints everything.
Okay.
No, wait, I'm sorry. One quickie. Some of the results are a little kooky. And I say that I think it's more AI at this point. And you might just want to do some tests. For example, a simple transfer from one bus to another says, cross the street, walk one block, cross the street again to and it seems as though AI, as opposed to logic, is taking over. You might want to do some testing on that. And I've got a quickie for the next bus. Anthony, for the next bus, if there's temporary construction, or if there's a change, the next bus is not being updated. And so for a month or two or three, and along Connecticut Avenue, probably for over a year, all of a sudden, people don't have that next bus information. I've been dealing with it for now for a detour personally, and so I can vouch for the fact that people stand at that stop now for 30 to 45 minutes, not knowing when their bus is coming. It seems to be a simple fix to do a transfer from the old stop to the new stop, and but it hasn't been done, and I've raised it a couple of times in customer service entries, and customer service doesn't always respond, as you know. And could you take a look at that? That's a big deal to people who are waiting without any information as to when their bus is coming. All right, thanks very much. Thanks a lot. But
Thanks, Steve.
on the
Thank you.
whole, congratulations. It's a great improvement. So,
Thank you so much.
well done.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll certainly look into that.
Great. I don't know if you can get us information, particularly on some of Steve's more technical issues over the next month, since we will meet again in September. It might be good to know if they're on the roadmap to be improved or you just missed them.
Certainly.
Let me see if we've got any other hands. Maggie?
Do we have Tino Calabi?
All right. Go ahead, Tino. You're up.
Yeah, there's according to the agendas, there are only 2 minutes left in this.
We're, I think we can This is important though, Tina. So Tino, so we can I think we take all the questions we can get here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good, Tino.
First of all, are you involved in the new page, AAC documents page? Because it's really a handy thing to look at. I only saw it for the first time today. Were you involved in that?
I think it was a joint effort. I think we partnered with both Dr. Butler's team as well as the rest of the web team. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's really excellent. The second thing I have to say, is it possible to back up a minute and show us visually o over the screen how you what the dark mode looks like? That was the last item on your
Yes, let me just pull that up
yeah,
because
you have dark
it's
mode at the bottom of the yeah.
just give me oh,
Can
go ahead.
we see an example of that?
Yes, just give me one second. I have to update the or pull open the design files. I will just flag that this is not finalized yet. We're still in the design phase.
Yeah.
But this is kind of an example is like here's what it kind of looks like now.
Yeah.
And then the future version, everything, all of the colors are primarily inverted.
Well, folks with low vision, are you able to see this? And what would be your comments?
Is Sarah. Since I raised it in the first place. Yes, having the reversed colors is very helpful to me. I mean, I wouldn't know until I could actually see it on my screen and if I could get the font up to a larger size, but I tend to use a black screen with light colored writing. It is the most helpful for me. But I do know there are other people that use like night mode or dark mode, and by that they mean like the orange filter kind of going over things, and they don't like it this way. So it's very personal, but in general, yes, this would definitely help me. And I appreciate that you guys are looking into it again, and we're happy to give feedback if you have choices at some point you want us to look at.
Certainly.
Perfect. Good.
What
All right.
does the bottom row show? There are three. Yes, what are we seeing here?
Yeah, so the dark mode option is just an additive option.
Yeah.
So there will be a setting. So the default view is the normal light mode. So you'll see here at the bottom.
Okay.
But then if you've selected dark mode, then you would see the top instead.
Okay.
And I just will flag all of these designs do still meet all of our color contrast ratios and that sort of thing as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I do prefer the top three of the example. Thank you.
Thank you,
Awesome.
Tino. Good.
Thank you.
Maggie, any other questions?
Have a question from Sandy Nuzel.
All right, go. Very good.
Hi.
Thank you, Sandy.
Sandy Nuzel, senior with blue hair in honor of the 250th, because my purple hair has faded to blue. The option to be able to toggle in and toggle out of your dark mode is excellent. And as Sarah said, that version that you had will work for many people, and happy to review if you want any other insight. But toggling in and toggling out is a wonderful opportunity for people. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Sandy. Anybody else, Maggie?
There are no more
On
questions
my
at this
hands.
time.
I'll jump in with a couple then, if I can, Anthony. I'll just ask maybe Sandy and Sarah. We had an issue, I think a month or so ago, trying to locate the recordings of the meetings. Did we? Is that easy? And I haven't looked. So I used to do it before, but haven't looked at it now. Are you able to find recordings of our past meeting minutes?
This is Sandy. I
Yay.
haven't tried yet. I've been
Okay.
crazy busy for the last week, but now that I hear it's been updated, I'm going to try to find some recordings and see how
Okay.
easy it is.
Yeah, ditto. I
Okay.
haven't seen the new page yet, but I'm excited to see it now that it's all
Okay.
finished.
Certainly we can, yeah, certainly we can give feedback on that. Great, thank you. No, same with me here. I haven't been crazy busy, as the saying goes. The you said you had some what were the issues, the accessibility issues that you ran across that you've been fixing? I think you said there were 18, and then along with that, as part of the roadmap, what were the accessibility issues or n new features that you were going to be looking at in the future?
Yeah, it's a
Kind of a
very
two-part
long.
question. Thank you. Yeah.
No, of course. It's a very long list of things that we can do, but primarily they focus around making sure that things that are authored always meet accessibility standards. So, for example, not allowing authors to skip heading levels to make sure that we're always following the correct a page hierarchy for screen readers, making sure that we are always flagging before publication whether or not there are hidden elements on the page that might need to be removed before publication. It's mostly things like that to just validate that we're always making sure that we don't allow authors that are authoring pages on the site to make those sorts of mistakes. The new site allows you to always be very accessible, but you still have to use the tools correctly. So introducing more guardrails to make sure that that happens. Is
Right.
is most of it.
Okay. And one last question, since you brought up some interesting subjects. What are you using to test the sites with? What kind of tools?
The primary tool that we use is Site Improve. That's
Okay.
kind of our
Standard.
day-to-day tool. We get scans done, I believe it's weekly. And then we're always trying to check to make sure that both SEO and accessibility issues are caught. And then we're hoping to partner with Dr. Butler's team in the future to get kind of a cadence of kind of manual testing as well. We haven't
Okay.
gotten that done quite yet. We did a round before we launched, and so we want to get back into doing that as in a kind of
Yeah.
recurring cadence.
Good. I was impressed with what you did before the launch. That was good. What about PDFs? I know that's always a difficult subject, along with fillable forms. What are you using for PDF testing?
Dr. Butler, do you have
Is
any?
that, I don't mean to put you on the spot. Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah.
So we're using Site Improve. We're also utilizing Invita, Invita, excuse
And
me.
NVDA, right?
Yes. And then we're also utilizing JAWS. We have access to an
Good.
account. And then we also are using a site called WebAIM, if
Web
you're
aim, right?
familiar. So
Yeah.
that's what we have.
Okay.
At the moment, we're looking to hire a position that can support our user experience teams and provide training weekly or monthly training for our authors as well
On PDF?
on everything to
Oh.
include PDF.
Wow. Interesting. I might know somebody or that did it for me before.
Okay.
I'll share some information. One tool that I did run across from a company called Alliance. They had a very good scanning tool that scanned just PDFs and was able to give you an inventory of PDF documents that were needed work done on them, would give you an improvement score and all. A company by the name called Alliance, and the tool was called Clarity. Probably the best tool that I've ever seen dealing with PDF documents. But anyway, that's maybe something you could look into. Oh,
Certainly.
and
Thank you.
good. And any other input from the committee on Pulse? I did hear a presentation, I think, that either you gave or members of the staff gave to the RAC the other day, and they were absolutely thrilled with everything that's going on with Pulse. They fell in love with your improvements on Pulse, and that's great.
Thank you. Thank you. Pulse is very exciting to work on because People have very, very good feelings and thoughts on it. And so our
Mm-hmm.
roadmap is kind of set for us because we just can respond to what the feedback is that we're getting from customers. So.
Right. It was interesting. I know that I think it was last month or month before we spent more time on the AC, spent more time on the website, not much on Pulse, and it was the other way around with the rack. They spent less time on the website, and you got tons of suggestions on Pulse. They just absolutely loved it. So I think you're satisfying both groups. That's really good. And
Thank you.
I appreciate the fact that, reaching out through Maggie's team. We've got some people that would like to be able to volunteer their time to be able to work with you that are very good access technology vendor users, trainers, and coders. So we're maybe put a team together that can assist. And
Awesome.
helping you work
Okay.
with the page is great. Thank you.
Great. Thank
Any
you.
last questions for Anthony? No.
Chair Sheehan, I do
Yeah.
see Tino Calabria's hand up.
Okay.
No, I raised it for the next item.
So
Oh,
that,
okay.
okay. All right. Good. All right. Thank you, sir. Excellent
Thank you so much.
presentation. Appreciate
Appreciate
it.
the time.
Good. So, we had an excellent meeting with Nicola, with emergency preparedness last month. I think it was June 17th. So I wanted to kind of open it up to folks that were able to attend this demonstration. I think it was from 10 to 12 or 10 to 1, something like that, on the 17th. I would just say that this is the first time we've ever done it this particular way, gone through and had this demonstration of how what they do as far as emergency preparedness. In the past, we had been in part of exercises and then ran into issues with respect to wheelchairs and waivers and that sort of thing. So that was kind of a little bit discontinued as far as AAC participation. But I'm really thrilled, one, with the participation we had, and two, with the willingness of WMATA to engage us and then continue to engage us over the next year and a half, 2 years, whatever, however we can be of assistance. Tino, you were there. Your thoughts about what you saw, what you liked, other things that impressed you, or ways we could improve next time?
I was really stunned by how much they packed in the few hours that we had. I think the regular training is multi-day, at least 2 days, maybe even three. So we only got a glimpse of what is done to train people otherwise. I think his name was James and Mike, who of the staff out there who helped us out. The one thing that was missing, and it was, I tried to fill in the gap, but I can't do it myself. We didn't have any volunteers who use wheelchairs, and my guess is that helping evacuate people in wheelchairs may be more difficult than, say, helping me with my cane or my balance issues. So maybe we can be invited back for other parts of the regular 2 day or multi-day training. And this time we can have a volunteer from amongst us who uses a wheelchair. General, I was really stunned at how educational it was. Amazing. And I'm really grateful for even just a few minutes we had. I hope we can do it again and continue it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tino. Very good. Yeah, I was impressed also. And Tino, I know that we're looking to recruit people on the committee and ensuring that we have a diversity of people those using wheelchairs and other disability groups is critical as far as moving the committee forward. And so we are focusing on that, just to give you an idea. That's important. It's important to this committee. It's important for the information that we can share with WMATA. So that's an area of increased focus. Other people who are at the exercise, thoughts?
Okay, this is Sandy. I'll speak up.
All right. Thank you,
I
Sandy.
found it very interesting that there was a clear explanation about, how people would be walked down or assisted down from the end of a train car and could be put onto a moving, I don't know, trolley. It was like a gigantic tea cart that could be rolled down the tracks. But that's, and then other people would be walking along the tracks. There would be lighting every, I think it was 800 feet. There would be lighting added in the roadbed to highlight where there were trip hazards. There would be, staff helping, coaching along the way. That's the worst case scenario. In a better case scenario, everybody would be asked to stay on the train and the train would be pushed or pulled to the nearest station and people could get off. Or I know of an instance where a train hooked up to a train that was disabled and people walked from the disabled train that couldn't move into the moving train and that train brought people back to the station and they could exit onto a platform. So the reassurance of this is how it's done if there's a moderate issue, this is how it's done if it's a little bit more complicated, and this is the absolute worst case scenario, which happens once in a blue moon. So, and but the clear explanations of how it's all handled was really excellent.
Agree. Yeah, it was good to see that protocol was in place, and they all seemed to know and understand. There was no confusion, even with the demonstration of the carts and how people would be strapped in and wheeled down the track bed way. And the other area that I thought was interesting that I'd never seen before was how they keep people away from that third rail. And the different types of tests and machinery that they had to make ensure that that third rail was, turned off. Great. Sarah, you're up.
Great. Yeah, I would w echo what you have all said already. I thought it was a great experience. I'm very glad that I went. I thought it was very helpful and educational, and I hope that everybody has an opportunity to go and do this, that we keep kind of do this on a somewhat regular basis so that people get the opportunity because, not every day is going to work for each person. I agree with Tino. I think it'll be really helpful if we could get more mobility aid users out there, both to try it out and for them to see it. I know there's a couple of good questions that came up that I'm hoping we'll get feedback on. Rico raised a couple of things about the announcements and information for folks who are deaf and hard of hearing. I know I had a question about whether the some of the buttons were actually reachable by people in a wheelchair, and we didn't have anybody to really test it properly. But I think a lot
That
of good things,
was
a lot of good things came up, and I'm hoping we'll kind of keep this dialogue going. Go ahead.
yeah, no, I you just reminded me of something reachable from, I think there was an emergency handle that seemed to be high up on some of these cars, and my question was, was it PI or something like that? P, yeah. I forget what the acronym stood for, but that prompted me. I'm thinking, can someone in a wheelchair reach out to activate that emergency handle? So yeah, we
Right.
did have questions like that. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I happened to be on a metro over the weekend with one of my kids in a wheelchair and was looking at one of them. And unfortunately, it was too crowded, so we couldn't go over and try it, but we were not convinced that they could have actually reached it. And I think we also talked a little bit about the signs, like the instructional signs that were nearby. I think a lot of us were looking at them and agreeing that that's too much text. In an emergency, nobody's going to read three paragraphs. It needs to be much more concise, maybe pictorial, something like that. Very easy instructions of here's what to do. But anyway, but overall, it was great, and I'm so glad they did it. And thanks to all who helped set it up for us.
Right, and thanks to everyone who showed up. I think we had 10 or 15 of us there, I think, going through that exercise. Yeah, that was good. It would be interesting to maybe Maggie to have Nicola come back. See, some of the questions that we asked, I don't know if they can address those, either in a short presentation or whatever, but I'd like to be able to continue this. Oh, good. Thank you. I'm just reading the note in the chat. Yeah, I think it would be great for her to come back and engage us because the a lot of questions, but I think this committee has a lot to share as far as manuals and things that go out. So we'd love to be able to look at that and make sure that information that we could be subject matter experts on gets into some of the material that they're putting out there. So that's great. Thank you.
Chair
Any other?
Sheehan,
Yeah, go
there
ahead.
is a question from Phil Weinthrop.
Good. Phil? Go ahead, sir.
Also help, like maybe like engage like some people with like autism people like this really is like autism on the exercise, so they see how they handle these emergencies, so we don't end up getting kind of some kind of surprise, like freak out when everyone's trying to get out of the train in the emergency. And another thing is, maybe we could also talk to Nicola and see if she could have future exercises of this type on different times of day, or maybe some during the weekend, so that way make it accessible for all of us to attend.
Okay.
Because like some of us can wasn't able to attend the last one, that because it was in the middle of the workday.
Yes, understand. Yeah, that I think we had a good turnout, but certainly I think we can look at different times. That information is important, and the subject that you're bringing up was addressed a little bit, but I think that the future engagement is going to allow us to get more information recommendations over to them on a regular basis that they can incorporate into their training. So I see it as an ongoing process. Thank you, Philip.
We have another hand, Tino Calabia.
Okay,
Yeah.
sure. Go ahead, Tino.
Fortunately, emergencies don't happen that often. But in this case, when we went, there was a serious emergency in which three contractors were had to go to a hospital. And just last week, there was another case of a evacuation. I'm not sure it was in a tunnel, but it required people to be evacuated. So while it doesn't often happen, fortunately, it did happen very often, just prior to and just after we were given a demonstration. So in those cases where we need to be aware, and not that, given my own limitations, I don't think I would be able to help rescue a person, but I at least would know what's happening, and I could explain to others what I believe is the procedure. And so, number one, it doesn't happen often, but in the case that we ha it happened just several weeks back, and just recently there was an evacuation.
Right.
We all need to know, even though I personally would not be able to do much to help a particular individual.
Thank you, Tino. Yes, I think that, and so ongoing communication with Nicola and her crew, I think, is going to be important. Seeing what they produce as far as material, making sure our input is in there, and making sure that perhaps we can increase the scope, particularly if we've got if we can bring in some other folks with wheelchairs, or at least make sure if she's going to be here, we may be able to bring in some other groups that didn't really get a chance to comment, like. And we didn't have anyone there with a service animal. We had nobody there with in wheelchairs, and I think we're probably missing a couple other groups I'm not thinking of right now. But we could, I think, we can expand the audience so that we get a full picture of what can be done, what should be done going forward. Very good. Anything else? Any other hands up? Maggie?
None at this time,
Okay.
Chair.
All right. So we have our system-wide accessibility report. Maggie, I think you're up next.
Are you all able to hear me? Is my audio okay?
Audio's fine. You
Okay.
guys see the
Are you?
PowerPoint?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So this evening I will highlight upcoming engagement opportunities as well as initiatives. So the f first, I want to provide an update on the AAC committee member application process. This review cycle, we received strong interest with 11 new applicants and three current AAC members reapplying. The current openings included 2 seats for the District of Columbia, 2 seats for Virginia, and 1 seat for Maryland. Three of the 11 new applicants responded, or applications responded to invitations to interview. Chair Sheehan participated in those interviews. And the next step is to share the three new applicant applications and the three current member applications with the board for their selection. Tino, you have a question?
For several years now, we've been without any member of the Latino community. Are the applications that we have on hand the are any members of the Latino community involved?
Yes, so we did outreach to the National Association of Latinx Individuals with Disabilities, and we did receive some applications this round.
From Latinos.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Maggie on that subject? Very good. So having been involved in the some of the interviews alongside Maggie, I was impressed with the quality of the people that applied, and it makes very good sense, moving forward. I know that there'll be a bunch of us terming out next June, and there'll be more terming out after that. And so one of the this is an important initiative, and AAC leadership, well, WMATA leadership, I think, is very interested in ensuring that this committee goes forward with good, capable, strong people that can learn about the systems and can give the board good advice. So I've been hearing that. They're very pleased with what we've been able to provide as far as information, access, and recommendations, and certainly want to see that go forward with new people coming on board. Maggie, anything else? You had probably had a couple more things. I'm sorry.
I do, but Sarah Rod has a question.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Just a quick follow-up. So what's the timeline for when we're going to have people onboarded or announcements about selections and that sort of thing?
So the announcements will occur the week of July 23rd. The board will make their decision by that time frame, and then the new members would start in September. So there would be some onboarding at the end of August for those members.
Okay, thanks.
And so one of the things that we're looking at, and I don't know if this is part of your report, Dr. Butler, but I'll
Go
just
ahead.
say this, is that we're looking at attendance, and that's going to be very important going forward. If people, for whatever reason, can't make the meetings, we need to have people who can. And so we'll be looking at that. I think that not only do we see it here, but people inside WMATA also are seeing it and asking questions. So we do have some rules and regulations as to attendance. And I think that in the past, we haven't perhaps not been as strict as we could. But I think going forward, there's going to be a closer look at enforcing what we have in our bylaws as far as that is concerned.
Thank you, Chair Sheehan. And we do have a question from Phil Weinthrop.
Go ahead, Phil.
And also, so with this same timeline, are also for those of us current members who also have submitted reapplications.
Correct. So those applications go before the board as well as the new applicant.
Yeah.
And so, what's looked at very carefully here is jurisdiction, disability, so that we're well-rounded as far as that is concerned. Gender, what am I missing,
Race
Dr.
and
Butler? Ra
ethnicity.
race and ethnicity. And there are some very strict requirements as far as those are concerned. So particularly, particularly in the area of jurisdiction and disability type, which is something we focus on.
Thank you for that. I do not see any additional hands, so
Okay.
I will go to the next item. So I also wanted to highlight how Metro is interested in sharing more of our strategic initiatives with the AAC. The GM is committed to you all being aware of the strategic initiatives. And one example is the upcoming July 13th bus and rail meeting. The rail modernization team has requested time to share Metro's plan for the platform screen doors. They want to get their design in front of you, and so they have requested time to meet with you. But we want to make sure not just this opportunity, because they have presented to you all before, but we want to make sure you all have access to all of the strategic initiatives that Metro is implementing, and making sure we get feedback from you early on in those processes.
And I'll just jump in here. I think the first strategic initiative that you guys looked at that we had a few months ago dealt with the signals on the tracks. And although that's not specifically a AAC matter, the upgrades and updates are going to increase overall system accessibility improvements and safety basically. So a lot of these things are stemming are coming up from what we called over the last couple of years DMV moves, and these were part of those recommendations. So things like this, which fit very nicely in bus rail, other things like the bus rapid transit, other bus projects, and as they come forward, will be brought before this group, probably under what we're calling the strategic program, strategic update programs, so that you're not only seeing what's happening AAC wise as far as general accessibility, the things we always talk about, but you'll also be getting sort of a taste of what the system is looking at system wide. And interestingly enough, there are a lot of topics in there that just seem to fall into mostly, I would say, bus rail. So Tino, we may be keeping your group busy,
Well,
which is good. Yeah. Or at least taking up a lot of your time. Yeah.
Chair Sheehan, Mr. Calabria has a question.
Go ahead, Tino. Yes.
Well, I thought a lot about and even provided over the years examples with photos, examples of platforms, edge designs. Maggie, could you? I recently sent out
Yes.
for could you share that with the members who are the staff who are coming so that they'll know what I'll be talking about when they come?
Yes. So I did inform Mr. Block, Alex Block, the gentleman that presented in March. He'll be coming back to present. So I did alert him that you have been engaging the committee about the platform screen door. So I will share that additional information with him prior
Okay.
to the meeting.
Yeah, send on the examples that I provided
I
already.
will.
Thank
I
you.
will. You're
Good.
welcome.
Excellent. Good. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Maggie. We're kind of chopping your report up, but I
Oh,
appreciate the
no, I
thoughts.
like
And
it. No,
yeah,
no
me
problem
too.
at all. Okay, hold on one second. Let me just bust forward. All right. So, in alignment with the GM wanting you all to have more access into our strategic initiatives, we have asked him to come to one of your meetings. And so we're just waiting on a confirmation on if he can attend in September, which would be September 8th after the holiday. So that would be a Tuesday or October 5th, which is a Monday. And so this is an opportunity for him to affirm his interest in you all being engaged further in the strategic initiatives. And we would like for this, the meeting with him, to be in person so that you all can engage more closely with him in the
Okay.
boardroom. So I don't know if anyone has any objections to the GM attending one of your meetings, but
I would say no.
no, okay. So
No.
stay tuned for the date. We're just waiting for his team to confirm his availability.
And then maybe what we can do before that is to see if we've got specific questions, get them to you so that you can feed them back to Randy, and he can have, it's not that he's not prepared, but at least he'd know what the questions are that we're interested in moving forward. Great. Okay.
Excellent. All right. And lastly, I want to note a few upcoming accessibility activities. So on July 7th, you have the accessibility 8K tour with customer experience that's scheduled. We're asking that you all arrive by 12:30 p.m. in the LaFont headquarters, and we will have a van take us over to the 8K and 1K display. Those of you who have alerted us of your attendance, if you are taking Metro Access, your names were provided to Mr. Blake. And so he's just waiting to see if you haven't already signed up for your ride to the HQ. He's waiting for that engagement and will be on the lookout. In addition, on July 10th, we will hold the second Station Ahead Maps engagement with customer experience, building on that earlier work and feedback. So, that event, I know Sandy, you had inquired about another group participating. I did have to engage customer experience. I'm just waiting to see if they are okay with that group joining the July 10th meeting. See, and then I wanted to alert you about hiring within system-wide accessibility. We will be hiring for Anu's position as well as Miriam's position. But right now we are on hold due to the new system upgrade within Metro. And so we anticipate hiring very soon once we have access to release those positions. Excuse me, I can tell you that the accessibility advisory committee position has been expanded. So they will be looking for that person to provide support to the AAC, but also serve on some of the task forces that that Metro receives invitations for, as well as ensuring that your comments are integrated into our work. So they'll be following up with our internal stakeholders to ensure that your recommendations are heard and identify which recommendations are feasible for us to implement, and then providing justification for recommendations that may not be feasible at this time. All right.
Sort of, okay. That's good. Anything else, Dr. Butler?
That was my last update for you all.
Okay. And I want to brag on Bus Rail for a minute. I mean, they have a great upcoming meeting next week. You're going to report on, I think, a little bit on the signage. Implementation and restrooms, another project that we've been interested in. I think we'll get an update. And now station platforms, and I think even coming in the future will be another discussion on the 8000 series. So I will confess that I was jealous of all these nice reports going into Tino's meeting, and I tried to steal a couple of them, but he wouldn't let me have them. So, but no, seriously, that's good work, Tino. Your subcommittee is doing a great job.
But Chair Xiang, can I just
Yes.
add, we do have the
How you
8K
doing?
scheduled
Do you
for
know I'm
next
still
week,
having a
but
heart attack?
hang on, we got an open
Talking to
mic.
somebody in the police department. Oh.
I think we've got an open mic. Okay, go
Do
ahead.
you hear me? Do you hear the email you sent?
Wait a minute.
And I called them.
Wait a minute. Could we mute Rico? Okay, go ahead, Dr.
Okay.
Butler. Yeah.
I was just stating that we are scheduled to have the 8K on next week. However, we're going to be looking at the time with all of those topics. So that meeting may be pushed to September, but as
September,
of
yeah.
to date, we
Okay.
do have the 8K confirmed, but we
Good.
just are working internally to see how much time the other topics need.
Right. Okay. Perfect. All right. Any other questions for Dr. Butler? Let's see. We go. All right. If not, thank you. Thank you, Maggie. 6:45, we're at public comment. We have any members of the public that have questions for WMATA or the committee?
Chair Sheehan, I do not see any hands at this time.
Okay. I'll give it a once, twice.
Wow, no Metro Access customers. Oh, okay.
Oh, look, I see one.
Okay. Oh,
I
do we have
see
a hand?
two. Yes,
Oh,
we do.
there we
Let's
go.
see.
See. You spoke too soon.
So we
Okay.
have Phil and Marcy Goldstein.
Phil?
Excuse me.
Okay. Go ahead, Phil.
Hi, I'm just gonna let you know, as you know, that I ride the red line, the commute on the red line that going and there, you know, they are now have those stations closed because of the construction. And can you be sure that they have somebody enforce those bus lanes? Because I was late for the meeting because I was on the express bus from French Bites to North Bethesda, and then it just got slowed down because people would drive their cars into the bus lane, so to be sure they could get an instant turn on the streets coming off of Wisconsin Avenue. And be sure that that doesn't happen, so the buses can ha have their be able to get up get from place the shuttle buses can get people from place A to place B in a timely manner.
Okay. Can we investigate that? I think, also, Phil, I think didn't they just start the summer shutdown either yesterday or today? Something like that.
Today.
Today? Yeah. So my guess is let's take a note on that and see if we can get that, get you some information on that. I think maybe somebody didn't get the memo, it sounds like, but let's see if they can get that fixed quickly.
We'll check in with operations for that
Great.
for you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. And who was the second hand?
Marcy
Marcy. Yeah,
Gomes.
go ahead. Thank you.
Senior citizen with gray brown hair and a navy blue t-shirt. Maggie, has anybody tried to contact Doris Ray? Because she's no longer working at ECNB. And I think he must be ill.
Oh,
And
chair. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
if she's not attending all of meetings, we might need to replace her.
So thank you for that question, Marcy. Chair Sheehan and I did discuss just.
Hello?
Oh, can you hear me? Are you able to hear me?
Yeah. Marcy?
I think her screen may be frozen. Okay, Marcy,
Oh.
can you hear me?
No.
No? Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, you're coming across
Now
fine.
I
Yeah.
hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to affirm me and Chair Sheehan has ta have talked about attendance broadly, and so we have a plan to engage that organization to see if we can find out what's happening and if we need to request someone else to participate in her place.
Right.
Okay,
Thank you.
thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes. And Doris's position's a little bit different than other positions since she's from the COG team and with the Access for All committee. But but we will check into that because we want to make sure that if if people aren't attending, understand why, and then do what we need to do as a committee to keep producing as we can. Thanks. All right. And any other hands raised?
None at this time.
So let me jump over to Bus and Rail Subcommittee.
You mean
Tino.
minutes?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Well, the meeting was on June 9th, and we dealt with wayfinding signage. There's apparently four two-level stations at which some testing of the wayfinding signage is happening. And in fact, some of us were able to go to the L'Enfant Plaza's platform to see a pylon which had an example of signage. And may I ask members who attended if they could look more carefully at the minutes to make sure we adequately reflect what happened at the meeting. And let's see that we also talked about the summer shutdown, a short one on the blue line. The one that happens today goes into September 6th. So this is a much longer time for the shutdown. We also heard a little bit about the status of restrooms, in which it was said that because of the when the stations were the early stations were designed, there was no plan to include restrooms, and that's complicating having them adequately built as they are in the news stations. We also heard about customer service inquiries. And let's see, Sarah Meyer was there, and she then helped us when we had the signage group meet separately with her, both at headquarters and at the L'Enfant Plaza metro station. So those are basically the topics that were involved. And I asked the members, please check the minutes, especially with respect to the discussion of colors and that sort of thing. So we have an accurate reflection, a detailed reflection of what was discussed, so we keep track of where we're going and inform the board as to our interest in progress. Thank you.
Thank you, Tino. And I don't know, Tino, if, or if any members of the group that looked at the signage, or was it the a week ago or thereabouts, had any comments on what they saw, or we want to wait until after the 10th and come up with a sort of a group recommendation.
Well, I guess after the 10th, then.
Okay.
Because the minutes wouldn't reflect what we say today.
Right. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. I didn't know if any members of the signage working group wanted to comment on what they saw, just in the first meeting.
Oh, okay.
But
Well,
certainly we can wait on that.
okay.
This is Sandy Neuzel. Can I weigh in?
Certainly.
I think the See the bus rail subcommittee meeting next. I can't
On the
do my
13th.
arithmetic on the 13th. That would be a very appropriate time. And yes, I'd like to be able to lead a discussion from the signage working group as well as corral comments from people who attended the L'Enfant Plaza example of new wayfinding signs. But I also want to add to the minutes, unless I'm totally confused and the weather's been too hot and my brain is a little confused, I admit it. But at the June meeting of the bus rail subcommittee, we had quite the presentation from Efan Aponte about Prince George County Bus Transit Vision Plan update. Am I right or did I get the wrong month there? Was that
No,
May?
you are
Yeah.
correct.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I want,
June.
yeah. So that was a very extensive presentation with a lot of updates and how they're trying to tweak the system to make improvements in Prince George County, both the bus system that complements the metro bus system as well as the micro transit that will complement, as in complete. Add to the metro access paratransit within Prince George County.
Yes, Avanti came and he gave a nice description of what they have been doing and what they're going to do. Now, whether they'll be able to do it without more budget is another question. But let's thank again Sandy because she handled the subcommittee's work beginning way back when she and other members of the committee met in Prince George's itself. With at least one elected member who also has served on the board of the WMATA in past years. So from then on, she's handled much of what was going on. And I think to her credit, Prince George's is moving along nicely. I just hope they have enough budget to do it. And we'll keep asking them to bring us up to date so that they'll know we're watching over their shoulder. So thanks a lot, Sandy.
And Tino, I didn't mean to jump in if you were about to say that, and I thought you had finished. That's why I jumped in to be sure we didn't lose that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure glad we presented that because that's exactly what I said to the board. So yeah, I did remember that. And I was very pleased, like everyone was, I think, at that meeting. They seemed to hit all five of their points that we had focused on over the last couple of years, including infrastructure improvements of lighting, bus stops, sidewalk improvements, and that sort of thing. That's great. Dr. Butler, did you have a comment?
No, I was just affirming
Oh.
that conversation did happen in June.
Yes, no, agree. Yeah, no, and Tino, I agree. Something we want to keep the focus on, be able to report where we are to the board. That was something that Don Drummer helped push sort of the focus towards and over the finish line. So I think we're making progress, and we certainly will continue to look at that. Great.
Chairman, I have a question.
Go ahead, Rico.
So, Department of this, I know y'all said y'all is looking for something for Metro Asset for the hiring people, okay? Had they thought about sending the information to Department of Disability Service who help people define employment?
Are you saying for Metro Access? You mean for the.
Yes.
So.
Because many of time counselors who work with the deaf, the blind, or people with all types of disability, always they get many of emails. Have we ever thought about sending them something about this?
I'm not sure of the hiring practices for the Metro Access contractors, but in Maryland, Department of Rehab Services, DORS, I'm sure that's one place where they would be looking to send out for more people if they're hiring. I don't know what the hiring status is for the reservationists or other people for Metro Access. That's a little bit out of the scope of what we do here. But that would make sense that they would, what DORS would be one of the places that they would go to hire qualified people with disabilities who are looking for work.
Okay, I do have
Good.
another question about CDI interpreter, okay? So a CDI means a certified deaf interpreter. If a person is deaf and blind, they will interpret in their hands who are deaf and blind. Just like y'all call for a hearing interpreter, y'all do the same way for a deaf interpreter. They work the same, they do the same job, but the deaf interpreter will break it down more clarification for the deaf or blind consumer.
Right. Okay. Very good. Yeah, I am aware of those requirements. Let me talk back with Maggie and like to bring you into the conversation also, as to these certifications that are needed when that type of interpretation is needed and how that would be handled.
Especially if you have a person who's deaf and blind.
Right, particularly if, yeah, particularly that.
And that, 'cause I have a friend who is deaf and blind, and she reached out to me on Friday and asked these questions. And I said, "Oh, I don't know." I said, "But I am going to be asking
Okay.
ANC. I'm gonna ask them
Good.
questions."
And being the subject matter expert in that area, let's take that offline and bring you into that, and we will get you the appropriate information so that we can address that area of access. Thank you. Good. Paul, I think you're up next.
Thank you, Paul. Someone for Enrico. I remember when we were meeting in person, we did have one or two people who, individuals with
Deaf blind.
deaf blind, and I remember that in person they had interpreters that were interpreting in their hands on those occasions. I don't, so it'd be a good question to see how that would work here virtually in those meetings for such an individual to participate.
Yeah,
So,
that's a good question, 'cause that's one a deaf friend of mine who goes to Gallaudet. She's deaf and blind, and she had re reached out to me And I said, oh, I don't know about that. I said, but I am going to be asking that question.
Thank you. I just wanted to bring that point up. So,
Okay.
at our last Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, this is Paul Summerford again, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. We had a service excellence report by T. Varnick, and they gave us a presentation of some of the bullet points about Metro Access performance and customer satisfaction. They talked about how ridership has gone up a good 16% from the previous year. Abilities Ride has definitely grown by 33%. And then
Yes.
76% was the overall customer service, were satisfied in the most recent survey. And they explained that the customer service satisfaction survey is conducted every 3 months. They had about 400 in the past. They asked, if AAC members are able to participate. And I said, yes, they are part of that random sample because I was one of them that was called within the last year to do this, and I participated. So it's open to any eligible Metro Access customer. And when they presented about on time performance, they noticed that it steadily improved in 2026 with the exception of the decline in May due to the service provider transition. Discussed, let's see. Do, 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 do. The digital Metro Access card update, and that was by the farmer. I'd like to have a digital, Metro Access card that is secure to use. We would possibly like that as an option in the future than carrying the card in our pocket. That can those who are condition eligible can just use digitally for bus and rail instead of the card itself as an option for those who would like that. And Mr. Blake is still looking into the technical and legal aspects of how this possibly can be accomplished. At some point, possibly in the future, if more information is forthcoming, because WMATA would have to do all that necessary, research. We also discussed the Metro Access vendor transition and call center update. Mr. Blake presented information on that is beginning to work itself out, and that we should be at, steadily going back to normal performance levels for on-time service performance. He's very hopeful of that with the new vendor. And in terms of the call center update, myself and Mr. Blake had a discussion about, making, staff being aware and, watching people's, trips, and if they're late, instead of someone like me who has the app and say, oh, I'm coming to you, and saying this trip is late because I can see it, but y'all not seeing it, that they are more strongly proactive in seeing late trips, and as appropriate, make certain movements to ensure that people, if they're on a Metro Access trip, picked up on time. Things have moved accordingly to their own time, or offer them, if it's projected to be late, with alternatives, if they are eligible for certain abilities ride alternatives as a possibility. We talked about Tim, the digital assistant, and my transit manager update and things moving forward with that. Tim is obviously here to stay. I brought up some issues with Tim on, with certain abilities ride, how it still had issues with, instead of saying, oh, the trips are from Uber or Lyft to automatically get me to, an agent to provide further assistance, how it kind of tells me it's, or the trip is running within the window, even though I need help with that. It should recognize and send that to, a human being, so I don't have to be in a delay and waiting and others similar in that situation. And hopefully we can get an update on that. Lastly, I think that was the biggest, yeah, that was the biggest piece. So for next month, what we're looking at in our agenda, tentatively, is looking at a work plan. I will gather some of the ideas that we have, and we will have a collective discussion as a subcommittee on putting forth a work plan with some suggestions from Dr. Butler and her team on how to structure that more strategically, as I discussed with her. Also, we're going to, I'm looking to get eager to hear an update about how things are going with now. It is July 1st, and we are in now, as of July 1st, paying an administrative fee if we're selected from the lottery for abilities, ride, trips. How that is rolling out. I do have some questions myself to ask Mr. Blake, and I'm sure y'all bring yours too. Also, I am going to put on the agenda, since I see members of eligibility here, for them to come and, just kind of ask, I have some questions about, communication and things like that with eligibility that I kind of saw over the past couple of weeks, and just to get hear their feedback as to, some things they're doing with that, making sure that when there's, written communications that they're responded to in a timely manner. And with that, did I miss anything, Tuan? Or anyone else, or Mr. Blake? Any questions for me about the report?
I think you hit all the highlights, Paul. I think that's good. I think we are good.
All right, very good.
We
All
do
right.
have a question from Sarah Rod.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Sarah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Oh, I'm really having trouble today. I don't know what's going on. My earbuds are not playing nicely with my system. Anyway, it's not so much a comment on your presentation, Paul. That was fine, great. But I figure since we have a few minutes, I had a comment from the public that I wanted to share with Mr. Blake and the Metro Access folks because it's timely. I didn't really want to wait 2 weeks. And that is, I've had a couple of people report that they've had issues with the air conditioning in Metro Access vehicles lately. And I realize it's been crazy darn hot, but at least one person said that they were feeling faint and sick, that they reported it to the driver. There was like basically hot air blowing out instead of cold air. And they even asked to get off the vehicle because they were afraid they were going to pass out and they were not allowed to. So, I mean, I know there's only so much that can be done, but given what's going on, I'm hoping we're keeping a close eye on maintenance of the vehicles and have some sort of protocol in place if vehicles are too hot for people, because we certainly don't want people getting sick and passing out.
So I actually will take that to heart because that is a health issue. So I'm going to put that on the agenda so that Mr. Blake and whoever he has on his team that deals with that can kind of briefly remind us of those procedures for the next meeting. Thank you for bringing that up.
But can I respond though? Just
Oh, sure.
and we'll and we'll
Just
get
as a
into the
reminder in these hot months, yeah.
yeah. But as Ms. Rad said, this is timely, so she didn't want to wait. So no, we do have a pre-trip inspection, and if the air conditioning, wheelchair lift, or any major feature is malfunctioning, that vehicle is not supposed to go out in service. If in service, the report is that the air conditioning in this particular case is not working. The operator just simply has to report that, and then we bring that vehicle back in given the conditions. And I appreciate the reports to you. I would love to hear their name, ID, and the, or not their, well, yeah, the name or ID and the date of the trip so we can go back and look at the trip to identify which operator may have not demonstrated the level of sensitivity and responsiveness in a case like that. So, yes, we have pre-trip inspections, we have in-route determinations, but if a customer feels that they have not been treated in the way appropriate, and in fact, in this case, requesting it was so bad they wanted to get off the vehicle, you know, I need to hear about that so we can go back and investigate the situation and figure out what happened. Why would that not be reported at the very least by the driver in a case like that? We've been extremely watchful on that, especially over this past weekend. Knock on wood, I have not received any reports about HVAC in our vehicles not working. So I do want to hear about that much sooner rather than later. Anytime you get a hint of that or a clue of that from a customer, please let me know right away so we can launch an investigation immediately.
Will do.
Thank you, sir. Good. Sorry to give you more homework, Sarah.
And Mr. Blake, why have you on the mic? Is there any August surprise you are going to insert next in the next 2 weeks? Possibly.
No August surprise. I mean, I don't want to take it too much time. Right now, we're dealing with the fee, as you mentioned, and we'll talk more about it and answer questions at the subcommittee meeting. I do want to say that you, Mr. Chairman, Paul Semaphore, had the honor of being the first customer we deducted $3 from for an abilities ride.
That's awesome.
What was that, Mr. Blake,
I
again?
think Vanessa Coles had $3 deducted that day as well.
What was that, sir, again? Paul had the honor of what?
Of being the first customer to have $3 deducted from their EasyPay account for an abilities ride trip.
There you go. Very good.
And
And
tomorrow,
the big
you were
reason is I
early in
already
the
have
morning,
money,
so.
sufficient money in there.
Good,
Well, we're
sir.
going to talk about that too because we did deduct some who didn't have any money, and we're not going to be a staunch bill collector just yet, but we are working on the communication out to customers. But right now, we've been working more and more on the mechanism to be consistent, but do it in bulk. And tomorrow, we're going to attempt our first super large one-time collection ease and see how that plays out. We'll give you more updates during the meeting, but the fee is underway. We don't have any surprises this year. We're really still
In
trying to finish
August,
up.
you mean?
Correct, no August surprise. We're trying to just finish up the transition, and we're actually working on some internal technology. Paul alluded to it already, Mr. Chairman, but we're trying to do more and more things that will result in a few more shared rides, as I've been saying, but your impact and your customer experience, we're really working to make sure that it's not a negative experience to share a ride and you know, do so in a more public transit-like way.
Okay, very good. Very good. Congratulations, Paul. Glad to see you first. Anything else? Dr. Butler, you had something in chat. I didn't quite get all of that.
So
Can you?
actually, the member, they engaged me via email, so I have the information I need.
Oh, okay. Was there something about tomorrow's trip?
Yes, we had someone respond to the survey, but they also sent an email, so we just wanted to make sure we had everyone on the list so that for
Oh, good. Okay.
credentialing
Gotcha.
purposes.
Good. Okay. Great. I didn't know if something we all needed to hear. Okay. Great. Let's see. Any other questions for Paul? Any other questions for WMATA staff? If not, I can give everyone back 13 minutes. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Oh,
So,
Dr.
yes,
Butler,
you
wait a minute. Hang on, wait a
have.
minute.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Bell has to give her spiel. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Too anxious there.
All right. So, thank you to all committee members, Metro staff, guests, interpreters, and members of the public for your participation this evening. If you have questions, comments, and concerns, please send those to Metro AAC Chair at WMATA.com or by phone at 202-962-1100.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Butler. Now, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Mm-hmm. Second.
Whoa, look at all those seconds. Okay. I don't hear any dissent. So this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, committee.
Stay cool.
Thank you.
Dr. Butler, how long before I hear back about the question I asked you?
About the.